Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Welcome to the very latest edition of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. Don't forget to give us a follow if you haven't done so already on Twitter. We are at Premier View Pod. On Facebook, our page is the Premier View Podcast, and on Instagram, where we are Premier View Podcast. We have up-to-the-minute news on all things Tip GAA across all our socials, plus the odd giveaway, so don't miss out. If you're a Spotify listener, don't forget to hit follow and also hit the bell so that you never miss a podcast episode. We are now delighted to introduce our new sponsor, Orga Retro. Go retro with orgaretro.com, specialists in county retro style clothing. Get yourself organised for 2023.
Okay, we're getting the band back together here, lads. Episode 95 of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. Big weekend. Competitive action is back. Tip versus Leash in the stadium at 5 o'clock tomorrow, Saturday. Hearty Cup action on Sunday, and the Tip footballers are out Sunday as well. But the Tip team was named last night. I have to admit that when I saw it, I was very excited, and that's why I wanted to do a pod. I think it's a great team. Just wanted to get your thoughts on it. Sean, what do you reckon?
Yes, the team kind of surprised that some of the names mentioned, rolling straight back in there for Travers at six. You know, and half battling there with Brian O'Mara and Brian O'Grady, their side looks, just gives that kind of, you said, Mike, and it gives that kind of feeling that championship ain't far away. Jason Ford to the bench, I think he's now niggled, so that probably rules him out. He might get a few minutes, but hopefully the forwards, instead of Jason, can step up, because we did say it last day, we can't rely on Jason to score everything, and the rest of the lads only chip in 1 point. We need a bit of someone to kind of, a marksman, apart from Jason, to step in, and you know, there's people here that can do it.
Yeah. In the Brian O'Mara, Garrod O'Connor have been doing very well for UL in the fits there the last couple of years, and getting a start with Tip tomorrow night. O'Mara, of course, went travelling last year and had that injury 2 years ago, but great to see those two lads in Tip jerseys tomorrow evening.
Absolutely. Look, if going by their Fitzgibbon form, like, and they're only, what, 23 years of age, odd, they could be the centre forward and the centre back for the county for the next decade if injuries allow and performances allow, obviously. I've seen all the UL's matches this year, like, the two of them are very, very, they're just probably standout players on the team, and considering the quality that UL have in their team, that's no mean feat. Like, Garrod O'Connor scored 5 points from play the last day I seen him. And just, he seems to have added a lot to his game. I think his pace has really improved. There was one stage they played Twist Midwest, which is actually LIT, and I'm going to call him LIT. But Alan Tyne took off after him in a straight run, and he absolutely burned him. Garrod O'Connor burned him. That's not something you'd really associate if you had the two of them coming up against each other, and you'd have assumed that Alan probably was well-renowned for his pace, would have been able to catch up with him, but he's a fair unit of a chap, and he's put on a bit of size. His free taking is very impressive. He's scoring from play, as I said. I'm sure Brian O'Mara is just your stereotypical centre back. I'm surprised he's at wing back. I would have assumed that they would have bedded him into centre back and put Rowan on the wing. And they could that could happen yet. But maybe it's a factor that Ronan hasn't played many games, that they're just leaving him centre back to try and acclimatise to the pace of it. That'll probably be a change that'll make come championship.
Yeah. Grod O'Connor is a guy that interested me now for the last 12 months. I saw him play Fitz last year against LIT, and I thought he was outstanding that night. I thought he got a raw deal last year. I know it probably wasn't a great tip set up anyway, and I know he carried an eagle, but he got put on in two games, and it was when the games were kind of gone from tip at the time, and throwing on a young lad in his first championship action to try and steady the ship for tip probably wasn't very fair on him, was it?
No, it wasn't fair on him. No, it was very strange at the time, actually. Yeah, he came on against Clare.
Yeah, with 10 to go, I'd say, yeah.
10 to go, he didn't get near the ball. And you know, he can be cumbersome looking when the ball's not dropping for him. He looked a bit awkward in the day, but I think he has improved in that regard to his game. He seems very fit, and he's a big chap. Like, he's a real physical presence there. And we've seen it in a few Munster League games, even against Clare. He was catching balls out of the sky, which we haven't had a half forward like that for a long time. That's, he caught two or three great balls for puckouts. So you'd be hanging your hat on him really producing it. And he's a great backup option to have on freeze, as I said. Like, if Jason gets injured, you know, you have Noel there, John there, but you need the options for freeze there if Jason isn't hitting them well, which, to be fair, he didn't really hit them too well in the Munster League, but I know conditions are bad, but, you know, he's just a great option to have there.
Yeah, absolutely. Colm, experimentation again, I suppose, in two positions. Your fellow Clamelman is up in the forwards, and he'd be renowned as a backman, but he's keeping that number 10 shirt, and Mighty Breen at fullback. Kendi is interesting at wing forward going into competitive games, isn't it?
Yeah, he is, Mike. I suppose, look, he looks like the type of wing forward that's very much in vogue now. Like, Limerick have won All-Irelands with playing guys like Garrod Hegarty at wing forward, and, you know, it's that big, strong guy who can get up and down the field, who can almost play at 5 and 10 or 7 and 12 at the same time. That's very much, you know, in vogue at the moment, and it's something that we probably lacked last year, that kind of mobility between the lines. Looking at the team in general, I suppose, like, it's a lovely league team. I think Sean used the word exciting there at the start, and I was excited as well when I saw it, because it kind of has everything. So if you look at the full back line, we're experimenting with Breen. Carl Barrett is a fixture there, and then Johnny Ryan is the new man in, and that's great to see. So we've one new guy on the line there. The half back line, you know, Ronan back at six. Great Brian O'Mara, the new man starting, who we haven't really seen before playing for Tip. So there's another new guy there. Connor Stakeham in midfield would be relatively new. Our half forward line is pretty much totally new, and again, identified a couple of minutes ago, I think, by Enda as a problem area last year. So I'll be very interested to see how Keane O'Dwyer goes there. And then inside in the full forward line, you've got the old hands and John McGrath and Bonner paired with the new man, Sean Ryan. I suppose just the two kind of things that struck me, other than that, when I saw the team, I was hoping Shelley might start in goal. Just I was critical of management last year in that they never settled on a goalkeeper. I hope we settle on a goalkeeper soon and we're not chopping and changing throughout the league, and then we come to April and we don't know who the goalkeeper is. The other thing that struck me as well, I suppose, it'll be interesting to see in the forward line now. Like, we've kind of flagged this in the last few pods about, you know, who's going to do the scoring if Jason isn't there. You know, Ford has been racking up massive totals, you know, throughout the Munster League there for us. And, you know, somebody else is going to have to put their hand up now on Saturday evening and you know, get the 12 or 14 points that Ford's been getting in each game. So it'll be interesting to see if somebody takes on that mantle.
Yeah, absolutely. Jamie Barrett from Portis Ayres is with us as well. Jamie, Colm mentioned Connor Stakeham there as being kind of newish, but I thought he was one of the real finds last year. I suppose his competitiveness there around the middle of the field is really what Tip needed and had been missing over the years, maybe. It's good to see a guy like that and been picked in the middle of the field, and I hope if he can keep up that form as a mainstay going into championship. But you'd obviously have seen him
down through the years. He's a good lad.
Connor, yeah. Connor is a great bit of stuff. He's as honest as a day is long, and we saw that last year. He ran himself into the ground in his first competitive season with Tip, you know, and he was probably one of the real positives of last season, that he hit the ground running, hit the ground running, which is what we all wanted in the club. But he'd provide legs for Noel McGrath, which is what I would say Liam Cahill is looking for, to allow Noel to float around, and that he won't have to be doing all the heavy leg work. Connor will do most of that work for him, and Connor can take a score. And you saw what the goal Sean Ryan got last day. He has quick hands, he's good feet, loads of energy, loads of honesty, which is what Liam Cahill wants.
Yeah, absolutely. In the two guys there on kind of the right of the forward line, Keane O'Dwyer, Clannachinney, Sean Ryan, Temple Derry, Jamie just mentioned Sean there. Sean played very well in the Munster League, got a goal or two, seemed to show well, and has that directness that maybe we haven't had in the last year or two.
Yeah, he has that real goal threat, Mike. Real low centre of gravity. He's nearly always first out to the ball. His first touch seldom gets away from him. And I know he was on Rob Downey in the Cork game, but once he got the ball into his hand, he was gone around him so quick. I know Rob Downey's not the most mobile chap, but he had him burned. And you can see the link-up play. They've obviously done a lot of training in terms of creating goals and finishing them. That link-up play with Conor Stakelin for the goal against Cork was lovely. And he's just a goal scorer. He's a real finisher. And, you know, since John McGrath's been out of form and injured, Jamie Callanan's been missing. You know, we're relying on Mark Keogh and Jake Morris to be getting the goals, you know. Not as prolific as the two lads I mentioned before. So to have a lad there with that real goal threat inside is a very positive thing. I hope he gets going very quickly in the league and builds up his confidence, because it is still pretty much his first year at senior level. You know, he's been one of the best forwards in the county at club level over the last 2 years. Like, he's been racking up some serious scores. So, you know, I'm sure Cahill realises the quality he has, and he'll probably give him the opportunity to bet in there.
Yeah, I think an attribute of a lot of Cahill teams are goals. You know, he tends to go for goals, or set teams up to go for goals and instill that confidence into them. Actual out and out goal scorers is something that we really need, isn't it?
Badly. You know, we take it for granted now. Even I know he's not finished yet, but just Callanan was just unbelievable for so long, for us banging in so many goals. And you know, he did take up a lot of that burden, and they came in big moments and big matches. And just, you really can't teach somebody to have that, a really good forward. It's a natural thing that you just have to be born with. And to be fair to Sean Ryan, like, his scoring totals in the club championship, like, he's been scoring a lot of goals. I know the Turles boys would have seen him firsthand during the club championship this year. He caused a lot of problems in that game. There was a lot of questions the first year he came in the panel whether he'd be good enough. Like, he'd done it in the Seamus O'Rean, but you know, the Dan Breen would be a different kettle of fish, but he brought that form forward into the higher grade, and he's a goal scorer, yeah. It's exciting to see him in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But hopefully other years, let's say last year, for example, like, you weren't scoring goals, weren't even creating goal chances. There's games there where the opposition goalie didn't have to make a save. Like you want to be having 7-8 if you can, pepper goals. And your scoring rate, if you're getting 20-30%, you're getting your 2 or 3 goals a game, that's winning you. Like, and that's a Sean Ryan would deliver. He'll get a ball, he'll turn, and he's gone. Like, you know, and if you missed the first one, so be it. You know, at least you went and tried to get the goal. Like other years, lads are trying to pass the ball back out to a runner coming in and take a pop shot, say outside the red zone, they call it, from the sideline. And no, it's not. You score goals by going at goals.
And that goal wasn't an easy finish against Cork either. Like, he still had plenty to do when he got it back. Was that a tough angle? And he looked like a lad who would be hurling into county for 4 or 5 years the way he was finishing that. So, good thing, yeah.
Alongside Sean in the full forward line column is the great Bonner Maher and John McGrath. Great to see both of them back after injuries. But Bonner, I saw Bonner quite a bit in the intermediate championship last year, and just his kind of movement and the way he opened up the play for his fellow Laura teammates was probably one of the reasons they got so many goals. But that experience is huge for Tip to still have around the squad, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's invaluable. It's the type of thing that you can't, you know, much as we were saying about you know, getting, you can't really teach a goal scorer like what Bonner does as well. You can't really teach either. Like he's a pure animal of a man, pure raw aggression. You know, he opens teams up. He lay off a ball to your finishers then who are in that red zone, as Sean called it. And you know, I think for our new forwards to be coming into it to a forward line with Bonner Maher in there, like can be nothing but a help to them. I think it's interesting as well, Mike, that John McGrath starting, because my fear with John McGrath is that John McGrath, like we all know about John McGrath, we all know what a fantastic hurler he is, and he was, you know, and he had a couple of unreal years for Tip. But my fear was, and this is completely unfounded because I know Cal, or you know, I'm sure most managers wouldn't be like this, but that we kind of wait till April and unleash John McGrath in the hope that the John McGrath 2019, you know, started the first round of the championship. But I think what we're doing now, or what Cal is doing now, is he's given John McGrath every chance to get it to nail down that spot, to get his form, play himself onto the team again, you know, and hopefully we'll see the John McGrath 2019 as opposed to John McGrath 2021 and 2022. And he's been given every opportunity now. I think as well, it's interesting. It's a very much a Cal kind of a thing to leave sort of Mark Yeo and Jake Morris on the bench on Saturday night. You know, I was initially surprised, but when I thought about it, I thought that's a typical Cal thing to do. He likes to keep lads honest, keep them guessing. You know, I think for all of us, probably Morris and Keogh would have been two guys that we'd be almost, maybe not the first two names down the forward line, but they'd certainly be high up in our forwards, and both of them as well, as the lads are saying, are goal getters. So I just thought that was interesting as well, you know, that they're not starting on Saturday night. But look, it is only, it's exciting, it's the start of a new regime, but it is only the first night of the first round of the league. So, you know, we have to, I suppose, temper all this talk with that.
Yeah, I understand that, and I think last year we went to Port Leash and probably struggled over Leash, Jamie, and I think it was a four point win we came away with. Now it was a horrible night for Hurling, but it probably set the tone for the rest of the year in that our levels didn't really improve over the rest of it. But so, like, what will Cahill be hoping to get out of tomorrow? Like, a win is expected, but is it performance or?
I think a win is expected, let's be honest. But I think what he will look for probably is the likes of Michael Green continuing to settle at full back, Seamus Kennedy putting in a performance wing forward, and a new lad getting through, plenty of work and getting on the ball and looking comfortable at this level. He will expect to beat Leash, no matter what he says in the papers or on interviews. But that's no disrespect to Leash, but we should be beating Leash. But he will want performance and he wants work rate, and it's that simple, really. You know what I mean? We should be winning. He wants Noel McGrath to get through the game, John McGrath to get through the game, Roland back from 6 years in New Zealand or wherever he was. So, yeah, like, you're not asking for a lot, but you're asking for a performance, definitely.
Yeah. Sean, Michael Breen at fullback. Is it fair to say it was probably a troubled position and one we were kind of hoping maybe that we'd find a fullback and it would release Ronan out to the half-back line? And Breen won an All-Ireland at fullback as a minor, but never really featured. I don't think he ever featured there really as an inter-county senior at fullback. But this is what fourth, is it three out of the last four games that he's got the number three shirt? And how do you see that going?
Yeah, I thought with Ronan back, maybe Ronan be three and it might put Brian Amara in the six, but Cal's going to bring it again, so like he's going to maybe give him this game and give him maybe if it goes okay, and again throwing against Kenny next weekend as well, you know, that will kind of be a telling kind of game as well. So like Cal does see something, so like we have to kind of go with it at the moment. So but again, there is, like, you're putting, if you put, otherwise you're putting Rowan back really area and then Brian O'Mara into six. We have option to half back, and that's fine, but it's just number three. And if Breen does go well against Leash, I've no problem seeing him in Nolan Park next weekend again. Like,
yeah. Just looking at the subs in there, and I'll bring out your obvious love of Killadangan. There's no Quigley on the bench. Is that telling, you know, with kind of Hodge Campion in the Heffernan and our Dan McCormack who got a game in the backs, their name, Quigley isn't his. Is that telling, or is it just squad rotation?
I wouldn't read too much into it yet. fairness to Quigley, he wasn't too bad last year. Like, in fairness, it was a tough championship for Tip, especially in the backs. We leaked an awful lot of scores, but in the games that the team did play well in, he was pretty decent. Like, he was good enough against Waterford himself. Probably the full back line against Waterford was our best line in the first round last year with Craig Morgan and Barrett and himself. You know, they acquitted themselves as well. If we're judging him on last year, like, it's a bit unfair because we all know we were at sixes and sevens, and you know, he's been one of the best club fullbacks in the county. He's probably for the last 4 or 5 years. Like, I know he played against Clare in the county or in the Munster League. He started cornerback and he was like a fish out of water. It's fullback or nothing for James. But in terms of, look, if you hope Michael Breen can settle in there and become a championship fullback, but if you're going to get Breen through the league, he's pretty much going to be playing every game. You're going to need a backup, and you can't be trying someone that's completely called to the position in there if something happens to Breen. So he's going to be the backup fullback, I think. I wouldn't be too worried about him not being on the bench against Leash, to be honest.
Yeah. Colm, you already mentioned that Keogh and Morris were on the bench. But it's a strong enough looking bench. I mean, Conor Bowe is there, Ger Brown, Paddy Cadell, the champions. Ford is named, even though Sean saying that he's carrying a bit of a knock, and Dan McCormack. I suppose the intercounty game now demands that you have 20 guys on every 24 that are going to play. So it's important that we have a bench, isn't it? And that's quite a strong one.
Yeah, that actually I probably should have referenced that when I was just running through the team as well. The bench, sometimes the measure of a starting 15 is how strong the bench is as well. And actually, games aren't played on paper, particularly in February, but the bench does look strong. You know, as you said, Conor Bowe is a good option for the forwards. I actually, a bit like Quigley against Waterford last year, I thought Bowe played well against Waterford and he had to go off injured. And he's a guy I see something in. He's, you know, he's got something about him. He's well able to win a ball and take a score. Ger Brown, you know, the jury is kind of out in Ger Brown a little bit. Yeah, I'm not, you know, he needs to fulfill on the potential that he showed. I mean, if you think about it, Ger Brown was coming on in the 2019 All-Ireland final and semi-final and getting scores for us. And here we are, what, 4 years later, and he's still wearing the number 18 jersey. Great to see the two champions there replacing maybe the two Flynns from Kildangan, and it doesn't mind me saying that. It's nice to see a...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
It's nice to see a shake up there. I'd like to see Enda Heflin actually get a run as well. I think he's been mentioned possibly as a backup fullback maybe, and I don't know if that's ever been looked at or explored. But you know, one thing struck me as well thinking about this is, like, you know, we see, you know, some of the players from game to game, and that's all we see them. Like, there's a huge amount of coaching and training and video analysis and different things going on, you know, every day of the week from the management team. So they're looking at these guys the whole time in training. They're looking at them on videos afterwards. They're doing all sorts of stats on them. So, you know, I'm sure they're not picking Michael Breen, for example, at full back just on the basis of the game. They're seeing a whole lot more during the week. And, you know, I think, as the boys were saying, let's have a look at him against Leash. But, you know, you'd imagine the big test will be against Kilkenny and Nolan Park, you know, and that's when he'll really find out a little bit more about him.
Yeah. In the Heffernan, just that you mentioned that he had a great county championship last year. Even though someone on the pod didn't pick him on their team of the year, he was probably the best fullback in my opinion, in the championship or thereabouts. I thought he was
West biased.
No, a North bias, I'd say, more so. That's Inda, by the way, is the person, in case anyone is wondering who didn't pick Inda on his team of the year. But yeah, just, I suppose, moving on just from tip, I think, as you said, we're expecting a win tomorrow night, and I do think it's an exciting team. But just the league in general, lads, there's, in Munster, there's three new managers. Shefflin is on year two, Darry Egan's on year two, Kilkenny's Ling is on year one. The league is probably important for quite a number of teams. Inda, who do you think will put a lot of emphasis on the league, or will teams put emphasis on the league considering what happened to Waterford last year?
It's just a shot in the dark, Mike, isn't it, to know what way teams are going to approach it. I can only speak from a point of view, really. I think we need to approach it with a bit of importance. I think we need to be getting wins under the belt. We need to be getting performances as well. Look, we can't be chopping and changing the team like 6, 7, 8, 9 players every match. We need to kind of get a settled look to the team, because that's something we didn't have last year. There was way too much chopping and changing done. I know there was probably no choice with that, in fairness to Colin Bonner. Like, it had to be done with all the injuries and the raw deals he got given there at the start of the year. He probably had no choice, but you know, I think Cahill's probably benefited from that, from what Bonner done last year, and he can come into it with a bit more of an idea about a settled team. And as Colin was saying, he's going to be looking at these lads day in, day out, and I think he'll know himself, considering that he was on the receiving end of that league and championship reverse at Waterford last year. So a settled team is very important. We've a minimum of 5 games, so that's not really a whole pile if you're going to be chopping and changing every game. So maybe 3-4 changes every match. And if you can get to a semi-final, go and win the thing. Because winning finals is you can't get better confidence than that. And confidence is something we don't have.
Yeah.
And that was the one thing that disappointed me, actually, after the Cork game in the Munster League. I said it here last week as well, that I just, when we were in a position to win that game and win that tournament, I know it's only a pre-season tournament, but given where we're coming from, I think it would have been very beneficial to have won that competition. You know, like, we haven't, like, you know, I've said this loads of times, people are sick of me saying it probably, but we haven't won an awful lot of games since 2019. You know, if we were to go back to a league and championship, we haven't won a whole lot of games. We've lost far more games than we've won, you know, so I'd like to see us getting back, win every game that we can. You know, you're talking about getting to a semi-final of the league, definitely go for it. It's 2008 since we won the league, I think, the last time. You know, Kilkenny have won 5 or 6 leagues since then. You know, we were league kingpins back then. I think we were on 19, they were on 13 or something. And now I think they're up level with us. So
they're not level. If I count odds of 2 teams won the league a few years ago.
Yeah, well.
We'll be counting that.
You know, so like, I just, you know, I would be saying, you know, go out and win every game. Like, Jesus, we're not in a position to be turning up our noses at anything at the moment. Let's get out and win every game. And as you said, get game time into guys, get a good look at lads, and, you know, and every, like, as Mike said there, like, every team, like, there's plenty of counties in the same situation as us. They're going to be starting different players and having a look and sounding things out. But as I said before as well, I just find it hard to believe that you can have a bad league and then just turn it on in championship, you know, because you're effectively going to be playing championship, what, 2-3 weeks after the league ends. You know, it's a tough turnaround if you're going bad. If things are on the floor, it's hard to turn it around in such a quick time. And we saw last year, particularly with Tip. Now, I know Waterford had the opposite of that, but, like, you know, you said, like, that we started bad against Laois last year and never picked it up. I'd say we started bad against Flipping Kerry last year and never picked it up. You know, the whole, like, you know, so anyway, look, that's just my issues with last year that I haven't fully resolved with myself yet.
But Sean, the league, like, it's almost an inconvenience probably to get to a final of the league. You know, you're only 2 weeks from the final to the first round of the championship. Now, if you're Cork, you don't play in the Munster Championship first round, so you've 3 weeks. And maybe that's maybe Cork are a dark horse for the league in that they'll be looking at it that way. And especially with say Cahill's experience from last year, having the 2 week turnaround from the league. What do you think? Like, is the league, the scheduling of the final of the league, an inconvenience to teams in championship?
Yeah, it is. It is a very tight win. That 2 weeks there, like, give or take any little niggle at all, the player ain't trained week four championship, like, you know. So Cork, you said, have 3 weeks. Cal may have learned from last year about that. But like, if Tip get the position of being in the league final, like in the semis, just try and get there. Like as Colin said there, win games. Like, we're not used to winning many games or many things lately. And like, momentum, like, I'm feeling that even getting to the league final, like, we could, like, look at a team we're out this weekend, like, and there's lads on the bench that are capable of playing, like, the champions. You know, there's loads of lads that could go in. Like, if you have to play a league final, you might play lads that might exactly be in a championship 15, but are on the next, maybe next best five or six. You know, I have no issue with that either then, if you want to, like, rest a few lads or four is carrying something, or, you know, Ronan or Brian O'Mara, you know, your main lads. So, like, I'd go off, but as you say, Cork have that extra week. 3 weeks is a long time. So, you know, in hurling, like, recovery and stuff. So there's no problem, but if I get there, I'd be going for it.
Yeah, is it easier to be Leinster County in the and target the league than be a Munster County and target the league with the way in Leinster, and no disrespect to the two counties, but they're expecting wins against Westmeath and Antrim.
100%. And even if you start your best teams against those counties, more often than not, you're going to be reeling lads off after 30 minutes. Because, as you say, no disrespect, but like they still haven't. I don't think a smaller county like that has won a round robin game in the last since it's been in, have they? Other than, was it the Leash win one? No, they weren't even in it. That was
McDonough. Did Westmeath beat Wexford?
Westmeath drew it, huh? No,
they drew
it. Westmeath.
Yeah, they should have won.
Yeah, that was an anomaly, really. Like, so you're. You can just attack things differently when you can rest lads week on week. You know, if you have Westmeath after playing Galway, just say, or Kilkenny, you can rest a couple of your key players and know that you'll probably still get the job done with the lads coming in.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's the league. Before we finish up, the Fantasy Hurling is starting up this weekend. Dungannon, Owen Rua Hurling Club in Dungannon run it. Paul McEarley, and we had him on the pod there 18 months ago. It's a great fundraiser for their hurling club there in the middle of Dungannon. They do great work there for hurling. Inda, you were mentioning it earlier on about Garrod O'Connor and the Freeze. A lot of people would have had Jason picked in their early teams, but is Garrod O'Connor the pick for the Freeze for Tip this weekend?
100%. You know, he's been racking up some fair big totals for you all. I'm sure you're keeping an eye on it as well, Mike. He's not missing too often. And with Jason not on the field, he's going to be the go-to man for scores. So the advice would be that we're playing against Leash and there's a possibility we could rack up a score if we get running at them early. So get on Garrod O'Connor as your captain.
Is Enda Rowland the goalie pick, Sean? Man does a lot of scoring. I think he got 1-2 or 2-2 against it last year.
Oh, yeah, and I think I was bottom table from that game and never went anywhere else because I didn't have him. goals like that rack up pints. Like, as I learned, it's getting the players are going to score. Garrod O'Connor there, like, that's going to pick the team before four being announced. And, you know, that might look at him. So, all I want to do is not come last this time. Maybe that's my plan.
In the other than the Tip lads, anyone to keep an eye on? As regards the fancy picks, Evan Nyland maybe from Galway, or is he going to nail down a place? I suppose it's his year if he's going to nail one down, isn't it? And he's a sharpshooter from Freeze anyway.
I don't want to give away too much, Mike, because I want to beat you in the competition. You know, I have a few aces up my sleeve. But look, we'll stick with Tip. Seamus Kennedy is down as a back in the competition, operating at wing forward. He's a good eye for a score, in fairness to him. He always has.
He get the first pint in the 19 All-Ireland?
Yeah, and he got one in the 16 All-Ireland as well, didn't he?
Or was it the 16 All-Ireland?
And he got one against him in 19 too. So he's a habit scoring in All-Ireland finals, yeah. He's a good option to have there. Picking those sort of players that really rack up the points if they're mispositioned by Owen Rua boys.
Yeah, Fancy Hurling is a good. It's a good old crack. It's fancyhurling.ie, and get your teams in. And there's a Premier View Pod League. I think the code is up on the socials. Podrig and Owen have it out there everywhere. So and there's an Orga retro jersey for the winner of that league. So I think we're one of the only private leagues that's given out a prize. Sean, just on the GA front, two controversies, the All-Ireland football final and the Katie Taylor issue. Are they annoying you as much as they are me?
Yeah. Well, at least Katie Taylor issue is kind of covered. The All-Ireland football replay, that I think will never happen. Anyway, that's it. It'll just be go between appeal, and that'll be it. And as for Katie Taylor, like, this entitlement of giving a private company Croke Park for pittance and giving them security for an event, I just don't understand it. And then people go, why do you need so much security? It's a boxing event. I'm not saying boxing people might be more prone to being arguments, but we know from over the years, certain hotels, people have got shot dead. Certain people associated with boxing, and it's like, they could be there. You need security. And Croke Park went upon the best event possible, and through that, you need security. It's simple, like, pay the money or don't go there.
In the Eddie Hearn threw out a bomb yesterday morning, and people picked up on it. That, and in fairness, Peter McKenna came out and he kind of put that to bed. But Eddie Hearn is a spoofer. Anyone that, I suppose, I'm not a big fan of boxing, but I think I know Eddie Hearn is a spoofer. It's a pity that people have picked up on this and ran with it, making a big deal out of it. And it's a pain in the arse, really, isn't it, for the GA?
I don't think he even... I know he is a pain in the arse, in fairness, and he's well able to spin things to his own benefit, but I don't think he even meant it in that sort of way. I think that comment was made on a UFC podcast or something, or a boxing podcast or something like that. And I don't think he understands, you know, the relationship the public have with Croke Park and having different events there, and somebody just picked it up and just blew it out of all proportion. Like, it's very simple. Like, if they don't meet the demands of Croke Park for the price they want, it doesn't go ahead. Like, it's not a charity they're running there, like, yeah, you know.
And even just for Dublin, it seems a crazy weekend to have the fight on with the European rugby final on, which means hotel rooms, which are at a premium at the moment, will be non-existent that weekend.
Yeah, and I think the GAA had a conversation with all the authorities involved as well that would be involved. And I think the guards were highlighting that fact that they'd be very stretched, like, if they had to have that event on top of everything else that was going on there. So, like, it's boxing. Like, if you're a boxing fan, grand. Like, I'm not a boxing fan myself, but you know, the atmosphere would probably be even better. Would they sold 80,000 tickets for a Katie Taylor fight?
I don't think so.
No, they probably wouldn't have. So to have it, where is it now, in the other, the arena, the O2 or whatever?
The tree arena.
Yeah, that's the venue for it. It makes more sense. Like, tickets will be more expensive, but sure, if you're a fan, you'll go.
It was just
more expensive, more money in Eddie Hearn's pocket, and that.
Exactly, yeah.
Just the headline and people jumping on conclusions, not reading between the lines. Like, you know, it's then like, as in, there could be a GA match on it again. That's the last round in Leinster football, is it, or is it hurling? It's definitely, there's definitely a weekend. This weekend GA as well, like, so, like, middle GA season, well, like, no, like, a lot of things have to go in, like, so.
Yeah, you'd have to be tearing up the pitch in Croke Park to fucking resod it in the middle of the year.
It's not exactly that good at all either, you know? Like,
exactly, so. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, just on that, wasn't it madness that the Dublin footballers got to play? I know there's always that issue whether Dublin football play in Parnell Park or in Croke Park, but with the condition of the pitch the week before for the club finals, wasn't it madness that they let Dublin play a National League game in Croke Park last weekend?
It was, but sure, we're beating this drum for a long time, Mike. We say this every year about different league fixtures. And it's going to happen again in a couple of weeks because they're going to be playing Clare up there.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be nobody. Like, everyone that supports the football in Clare is West Clare. They're not going to trek up to Croke Park for a league match in the middle of March. You know what I mean? It's absolutely mad.
Yeah.
I just don't get the obsession with it. All the Dublin supporters just go to Hill 16 anyway, so the pitch looks completely empty on the television as well.
Because last week, the terrace scene with Midland was jammed. Like, I mean, they couldn't find any more. It looked kind of shit. It was like, are they really enjoying standing there in the freezing cold? Like, they're not, like, just doing it because, on the hill, the boys on the hill, like, you know, that's how it was.
Yeah. Half of them don't even watch it.
Right, yeah, Division 2 football at that as well. before we go, €18 to go to Semple Stadium tomorrow night. €18 for every league game, I suppose, is the headline. But I don't think it matters the fact that it's Leash or not. But it's gone a bit pricey to follow the old GA.
It's a joke. Like, 18 quid. I don't know who's making these decisions. Like, I was actually pricing a season ticket for a present for Christmas for someone, and I was shocked it was gone up to €150. And I was like, Jesus, how could they be justifying this? And then they announced the average prices of the league tickets, and I was like, makes sense to me now. The price hikes are ridiculous.
Well, still not massive value league day season ticket either, like, unless they're going to go to every game. They're going to travel to Ireland Park, like, they're going to travel to Belfast, so.
Well, yeah. 5-18s is €90, and you get the first round of the championship, which is probably a €30 ticket. So, if your team doesn't make the knockout stages of the league, you're down money, are you?
Pretty much, yeah. And are you expecting the championship tickets to be €30? I'm not too optimistic about that now.
Well, sure, that's what it was. Were they 25 for the round robin last year, or 30?
Jeez, I think they were more than 25, were they, Sean? I remember, no?
I can't remember. I'm not too sure. But it goes an odd amount. It's like the 18 now is like, they're still under 20. That's where they're letting on. But I mean, it's like 18 is, it's not a difference, like, you know.
But is 18 value for the Kilkenny game?
Well, that's different now because it's going to a good cause and stuff.
People, no, it's not. The
Kilkenny game the week after.
It's not really. It's still too
still
dear.
18 euros.
It's still too dear. Like.
Yeah, so it's not just... We're not up in arms just because it's Leash.
No.
Oh, that's a part of the problem for this game now, but we'll have the same problem coming up to Kilkenny game as well. Like, it's still to it here. Like.
Yeah.
You know, some, like, you probably get the decent GA folks and just put up with it and pay it, but you're going to turn off lads with kids there arriving on to the match and stuff like that. Like, it's just too much money. Like, it's crazy for a league match.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, even they should have, but even on that, the Hearty, the Munster schools and GHS came to agreement and paid double header and 20 quid for double header. Barely, you know, what? Never going to happen.
Yeah, well, if you're the GA and you're charging €18 to go to the Leash game, I don't know what the Hearty Cup will charge, but the Hearty Cup is going to draw more people than the Leash game tomorrow night.
Probably.
They'll have to split evenly, or whatever deal they'd come to with the GA, but I mean, we know how these different bodies kind of argue how money is there allocated, you know. And Munster PPS probably need the
cash, funds,
you know, to run their games all year, you know.
Well, would in the once off, I don't want to say it would have ever came out again, like, just the way the parents, but just people own to me, just like pick one in the match to go to, probably go to Hearty. That's the reason why. No, not going to turn us twice.
Yeah, the sparse crowd at the match tomorrow evening.
I think they're talking about 3,000 or 4,000.
There's only less 200-something tickets sold. I mean, the Hearty's tickets are very slow, but no one knew. I only knew today they actually couldn't buy at an site, so I had to buy under now. I thought you could tap and go, but you can't do that either. So I see in the Munster GA site there, which is a bit awkward.
It's a bit awkward. Something that the GA left to look at. Story for another day. All right, lads, it was good to be back. Good to talk to you. It's getting back into the swing of things. Jamie and Colm have had to jump off. Sean and Enda, thanks very much. And I'm sure you'll be at it next week, maybe again, with a review of the Leash game. But until that time, you're listening to the Premier View, to the GA podcast. And see you again.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.